We all want to be happier, but how do we get there? First, we start by realizing happiness is not a destination. Being happy consists of micro action steps every single day. I'm your host, Brittany King, and I'm here to guide you along the way.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to the Positively Real Podcast. I am your host and yo coach, Brittany King, and I got another fun episode for you. Now, if you haven't listened to the other episodes in the series, please do. I'm talking all about stress. And no, it is not boring. It's very important to talk about. I talk about this a lot with my clients, so I wanted to bring this conversation to you because stress is not something that we are. It's not something that our stressors are not things that happen to us. It's how we respond to it. It's what happens inside of our body, inside of our nervous system, which is just essentially sending information. It's just sending us information, signaling us to pay attention to something. And something that I coach my clients on a lot is relationships, whether that's with a partner, parent, coworker, a teammate, you name it. I've coached on it. So I'm not going to say I'm a relationship expert. There's a ton of relationship experts out there. In fact, I've had Jocelyn and Aaron Friedman on my show, and they're amazing. So I highly recommend them for more specific stuff. But I do find that stress and relationships tend to go hand in hand. And there's so much big people in our life trigger our stress response in our body so often. And I think it's really important to understand what stress in relationships, like what that means to us, and how this can really manifest in so many different ways in our life. I want to empower you to have the understanding and the tools so you can understand yourself better and bring your relationships into harmony in your life. One of the things that I think about all the time is when right after we had Ellie, it was, I don't even know how many days postpartum, but right in the height of the hormonal drop, and Brian was going for a run. I was like, I'm going to go to Burger after. And I was like, yeah, great, go. And then he left and I just started fuming. It was like 90 minutes of just fuming, feeling myself being so angry. And I was Googling how to not hate your husband after having a baby, which apparently a lot of people I've asked this question because there's tons of blog posts about it. You know, there was a lot going on, but I had an unmet expectation and an unmet need. There were two things going on that triggered me. He came home. He felt it right away. He was like, let's talk about what's going on. And you know, whenever my reaction is disproportionate to whatever is happening, like in the conversation or the relationship, that's how I know something is happening inside of me that I need to explore and look at. And it hasn't been until really these past couple of years where I've really understood my nervous system and my triggers that I've actually been able to do this. I always just thought there was something wrong with me. Like I'd be like, why is this bothering me so much? And then I would just judge myself, shame myself, and then I'd move on. And really wasn't helpful. In the previous episodes, make sure you listen to those. But stress, the way that I talk about it, it's not the stressors that cause the discomfort. It's what happens inside of our body. It's our interpretation of the stress. And I hear this all the time. I'm stressed. I am this. I am that. I'm like, you are not stressed. It is not your trait. Unless you want it to be. If you want to identify as a stressed person, fine. But it's just a state. It's something that happens inside of your body. It doesn't mean that's who you are. Now, the thing is, it has an impact on our self, but then it also impacts our interactions with other, because if we have a fragmented relationship with ourselves, it's going to be really hard to connect and be vulnerable and have that relationship with other people in our life. And so the way that I see this manifesting with myself and my clients is a lot of misunderstandings, conflict, and then just like terrible stories about ourselves. Like we have an issue with someone and we make it mean all these negative, terrible things about us. And so that's really where the work lies. And so really understanding, you know, the role of the nervous system and emotional regulation, the stress response, which I talked about in last week's episode, is really important.
It's really, really important. So there's a couple of different things that I want to dive into. As I talk about this again with my clients all the time, I have this one client, she's going to laugh because she's going to listen to this episode, and she's a manager, and I coach on relationships all the time. And there was someone on her team that was almost going to get fired. And I coached her, not about that person, about herself. And now that person is on the team, staying on the team, doing well, and is one of her favorite people. And so we always joke that they owe me a thank you because of the coaching I did on herself, it ended up resulting in that person staying on the team. That's why it's so important to do this work, because we don't realize how negatively this can impact all different areas of our life. So the first thing that I want to talk about today is just understanding your triggers, where they come from. You know, we have these emotional triggers that happen from the inside. And again, like our triggers, it's just like something triggers us, the way that we metabolize something happening outside of us. And then we have a biological response. Like we have our system goes into motion in order to protect us from whatever the threat is. So emotional triggers are specific stimuli, like words, actions, or even environments. And they provoke a strong emotional reaction that's often disproportionate to the trigger itself. So the reaction is usually instantaneous, which bypasses our conscious thinking and dives more into our primal emotions like fear, anger, sadness. So understanding the nature of these triggers is really important to understand on a mind level and a body level, because those both contribute to our reactions. So on a psychological level in our mind, emotional triggers are tied to unresolved issues or traumas, things that happened in our past. This can include childhood experiences, past relationships, or any significant life event that left a lasting imprint. The stronger the emotional reaction at the time, the stronger the trigger is going to be. So our brains create associations between certain stimuli and the emotion we experience from these past events. So when a present situation mirrors or reminds us of a past event, it can trigger a similar emotional response. This is protective. This is important. This is natural. This is normal. There's nothing wrong with you when this happens. And I can't emphasize that enough. Trust me, as someone that every time I'd act a way that I was like, what is going on? I would judge myself and shame myself so bad, and I couldn't understand it. And then I would just forget about it and move on. And then it would happen again. And that cycle just continued. So this is protective, and it's signaling us to be alert to potential danger based off of a past pain, a past experience. So this is so normal in relationships. When someone in a relationship triggers us and it reminds us of something from the past that's unresolved, of course, we're going to act in a way that makes no sense to what's actually happening in the present moment. One of the things that I've been working on is a fear of abandonment. And again, when something disproportionate is happening inside of me to what's actually happening in my environment, that's how I know I got some work to do. And I'm so grateful for that. But that is such a shift from how I used to approach it, which used to be so judgmental, so shameful. So it takes that intentionality to have a lot of compassion for when those things happen. So also in our mind, triggers can be related to our beliefs, our values, or even the core of our identity. So when any of these aspects are being challenged or threatened, it can lead to a strong emotional reaction. So if you value trust above all else in relationships, any hint of mistrust could be a powerful trigger. Okay, so there's that first, the psychological roots of triggers. Then let's talk about like our biology, like what is happening inside of our body. So this response to triggers is rooted in our amygdala. This is the main part of our brain that processes emotion. The amygdala is like the alarm. It's like, bing, 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 pay attention. It activates fight or flight or freeze when it perceives a threat. And I emphasize perceive because it's not a real threat. And so then stress hormones take over, cortisol, adrenaline, they flood the system, which lead to physical reactions like heart rate, rapid breathing, heightened senses. Like I said, now I know my emotional landscape, when any of those things are happening, when I'm not aware that I'm having a stress response, I know that it's up to me to de-escalate it. And sometimes that means discharging it by moving my body. And sometimes that means just like settling and let the energy pass through me. So this biological response is automatic and it can be activated even when a perceived threat is not physical danger, but an emotional one. So it bypasses the higher reasoning centers. So your higher thinking, I like to call the CEO of your brain, and the reaction to the trigger feels completely overwhelming and like uncontrollable. And it can be kind of scary. So let me talk about common relationship triggers, because it's really important to know. For me, the like two of the biggest ones for me is rejection and abandonment. And I find that when I'm talking to people, that they often struggle with this too. But triggers often come from an unmet need or undefined or unclear communication, right? So then we have some expectations that are not being said, it's not clear, hasn't been expressed. And that can lead to being triggered. And so for me, so many times that in my relationship, when I have these reactions, it's because of this rejection wound, because I had this fear of being rejected. I have this fear of being abandoned. And so even like the simplest thing of my partner going for a run and having a burger with a friend, I felt abandoned, right? And I'll talk about our manuals as well, but these are the common wounds that we run into. So when we have uncommunicated expectations, I call it a manual. A manual is how we believe others should behave and act in order to make us feel loved, secured, valued, happy, connected, understood, et cetera, et cetera. You can see by having uncommunicated manual of rule book of expectations, how you're just setting yourself up to be extremely disappointed, let down, and possibly triggered. So number one, like I said, rejection. Fear of rejection can be a profound trigger. And then this is rooted in deep seed need. Like you have to understand your need for acceptance and belonging. The other common relationship trigger is abandonment. Past experiences of being left or feeling abandoned can make even small acts of distancing by your partner or anyone can feel deeply threatening. Control. Feeling controlled or restricted can trigger a response tied to a need for autonomy or freedom. Insecurity. Triggers related to attractiveness or comparison are often stemmed from an unmet need of security and self-worth, like if you're feeling insecure in your relationships. And then misunderstanding, feeling misunderstood or not listening or not being like not listened to can trigger reactions related for needs of validation and being seen. So I want to talk about this because we believe that other people are responsible for meeting our needs. And when someone can meet our needs, that's amazing. But to look to someone to meet those needs is really challenging, because what if they can't? What if there is something that comes up and you don't have the skill set of meeting your own needs? First, you have to know what your needs are. Second, you have to understand when you are triggered, most likely it's because there's an unmet need. There's probably a belief or a thought like I'm unlovable. It's blocking you from having that need being met yourself. And when you can't meet that need yourself, it doesn't allow others to meet that need as well. So many triggers in relationships, they just come from unmet needs, basic emotional requirements that when left unfulfilled can leave you feeling lack or insecure. And so these needs range from affection, respect, connection, to just understanding the need for autonomy and personal space and boundaries. So undefined or uncommunicated expectations compound the issue, because we hold this mental manual for how a partner, or not just a partner, but just anyone in our life, whether that's a parent, a sibling, a coworker, the person at Starbucks, should act, but we don't explicitly communicate it. So what happens is we set the stage for disappointment, resentment, and then ultimately conflict. And so this person, this bystander, is unaware of these expectations, is likely to inadvertently trigger an emotional response by failing to meet them. And it's just not fair for anybody involved, right? So understanding the roots of the emotional triggers will allow for more effective communication and coping strategies in relationships. So recognizing your triggers, which we talked about last week, and the needs or past experiences behind them, we can begin to respond more mindfully to emotional experiences, reducing conflict, and ultimately deepening connection. It makes your connection so much better, whether, again, it's a partner, a friend, anyone else in your life, because if you can meet your needs yourself, right, when someone else meets it, it just adds on top of it, which brings people closer. And it's, I can't emphasize this enough. I'm speaking from a lot of experience and a lot of shaming myself for not being better or more cool or whatever. So we talked about unmet needs, and I'm going to do a whole episode about this, but I really wanted to touch on it because the most important thing to understand from this is when you're triggered by something, specifically in a relationship, an unmet need. And this comes up for me with my daughter all the time. Whenever anger is triggered inside of me, it's because I'm not meeting my own needs. And it makes sense because I'm trying to meet my daughter's needs and I'm not even meeting my own needs. So of course I'm going to have some anger inside of me, not because of her, but because of what's happening inside of me. So, you know, really important to do your daily practices. I talk about this a lot on purpose. We need to have daily practices for when we have game day stressful situations come up. So this can be regular self-care practices like mindfulness, moving your body, different hobbies that help you take care of those needs, that help you also reduce intense triggers. For me, it's moving my body and breath work are my two go-tos. And whenever they don't work, I double down on it. If one time it doesn't work, I keep doing it until I process through. But movement and breath are the two things that really help me when I have a very intense trigger. Grounding exercises, putting your feet on the ground, becoming really aware of the sensations in your body. You know, being able to do those techniques are so important and practicing those daily. Even if you're not feeling stressed in a relationship, the more you can practice them, the less triggered you'll be or less intense a trigger will be when something does eventually happen, because it 1000% will. I will say the people in our life are our best teachers. Like they are our best teachers because they teach us where we're not free inside of ourselves. And something that someone does trigger something inside of us, it's not about them. It's all about us. And it's an opportunity to really heal and connect with that part of ourselves and validate that part of ourselves that might have not gotten validation when the original trigger was formed. And then the other thing is let go of your manual. One of my favorite sentences that I use now in relationships is, so let them. So what if you don't like what they're doing or how they're doing it? Let them be who they are. And that really helps you drop that manual and look at yourself to be like, I can make myself feel seen. I can make myself feel understood. If you feel like someone's misunderstanding you, are you understanding yourself? Are you even taking the time to understand yourself? So being in a relationship is such a powerful way. It's like a mirror, right? It's a mirror of something inside of us. When someone just is triggering you so deeply and you don't know why, go inside and you will find the answer. So the last thing I want to talk about is clear communication, because addressing needs and expectations within a relationship requires very effective communication. And this is an ongoing process. Again, I'm not an expert at this. I'm just sharing what works for me. So try what works for you. But also, if this is something you're struggling with, there are so many amazing resources out there that can support you in your growth in your relationship. So clear and assertive communication is so important for any relationship dynamic. It includes expressing thoughts, feelings, and needs openly and honestly, while also respecting the other person. So being assertive does not mean being aggressive. Instead, it's about being open. It's about talking about being vulnerable. And that's what this is about. So number one, using I statements. I feel this way. I would like, I need, instead of you make me feel, you don't listen. You can see the difference. Just that tiny little shift makes a huge difference in how you communicate, because then that person won't feel
defensive. They'll be listening to you because it's about you. The other thing is be specific. You have to articulate what's going on inside of you. Vagueness is what leads to misunderstanding. So instead of saying, I want you to be more supportive, specifically, what does support look like to you? I need you to listen to me without offering solutions when I talk about work stress. So simple, and also just helps you feel understood because you understand yourself first. Like, you have to understand what your need is so then you can communicate it. And then practice active listening to make sure you understand the person that you're talking to's viewpoint by actively listening. Summarize what you've heard. Ask for clarification. Don't think about what you're going to say next. Now, when you're expressing needs, what's really important is for you to understand that you are not coming from a place of accusation. It's really important that you are coming from this place of connectedness with yourself. First, understanding what your needs are, meeting your own needs first, because when you can express your emotions and vulnerabilities, it's really going to help bring in empathy rather than defensiveness, right? So, you know, you can say, like, when we don't do this, I feel this way. Like, you're saying we, like, when you don't respond, or like, when we don't talk for a week, this is how I feel, instead of you never talk to me. Like, it's such a big difference in language, and it feels so different in the relationship dynamic. When you are expressing what you're needing, find solutions, but make sure you find that solution within yourself first. The other thing is listen to your partner or friend or colleague or whoever you're communicating with. Listen to their perspective. Validate their feelings. Validate what they're experiencing and their unique perspective. And then, as always, provide positive reinforcement. And this just encourages more of the actions that you need and strengthens your connection, right? Again, you can't look to someone to meet your needs, but you can express what you need in those moments. And so being able to effectively communicate and being able to listen and validate, it's just going to create such a deeper relationship within yourself, which will ultimately create a deeper relationship with those around you. So this is all so important to managing stress. Like I said, the people in our life that trigger us, the relationships, how we handle stress in relationships are such a big opportunity for growth. We can grow together. We can grow apart. It's just so important that we don't push people away because we don't like how they make us feel. That is our opportunity to go inside and figure out what's going on inside of us. And that can really strengthen the relationship you have with yourself, which will then strengthen the relationship with people in your life. Okay, my friend, that's what I have for you today. Let me know if you have any questions. I'm loving having these conversations with you. So please reach out if you need anything. Until next time, remember to love yourself, own your happiness, and let your light shine, because you're so worthy of it. Until next time.